2 Kings chapter 23. Starting off in verse 7, and he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba, and brake down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua. Of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of their unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the son at the entering in of the house of the Lord, by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. What we're looking at here is the story of Josiah making large sweeping reforms in the nation. Now again, wicked king after wicked king had sat the throne. Terrible things had taken place in Israel. And as we're looking at society today, Brother Charlie mentioned this in our prayer group, the recent decision by the Supreme Court to overturn their ruling on Roe versus Wade. Now, I'm not entirely sure how familiar you are with it. And as a preacher, I don't typically try to talk on politics other than slipping my shots in here or there. But this is something we have to talk about. So, looking at what happened, again, we understand the difference between state power and federal power. And we understand how laws are made. The legislative branch of the company, of the country company, I was probably right, the country set the laws, your Senate and your House of Representatives. Well, what had happened was with Roe versus Wade, what the court did, the Supreme Court did, is in their ruling created a precedent. So basically, it's like this. You can break the law, and because the Supreme Court ruled one way, it made you not, if they prosecuted you, you had an out. You could sit there, point to Roe v. Wade, and they didn't enforce those rules or that law on not being able to have abortions. Right? So what they've done is this, and if you want to put it into a metaphor, I lock my front door, but people keep getting in through the window. Right? And because people keep getting in through the window, I'm like, why am I even locking the door anymore? So we stop locking the door to abortions. And what we've done, the Supreme Court, what they did is they went over and they shut the window. And they locked the window. And now you've got to get back through the door again. You've got to find it legal or illegal on the state level to do this. Right now, I kind of feel in this small window of time we're in, it reminded me of Josiah here. We're going to burn down these altars. We're going to destroy these statues. I'm going to go over to this place where the children were sacrificed to Molech, and I'm going to shut it down. And we see Clarence Thomas also talking about the possibility of undoing the same rulings that gave contraceptives a mandate and gave gay marriage the ability to get in through their own window. And he's talking about shutting all the windows. But we understand that it is simply a shutting of a window. They can still get in through the door if our local state, or on the federal level, by the way, passes something to allow the door to remain open. We're at that time. Where I see with Josiah, where he is shutting things down. And I tell you what, I am so glad. However, we cannot get ahead of ourselves. Because where we're sitting right now is, yes, the window is closed. But we've got to get the door locked. We've got to lock this stuff down till it does not happen. I had a conversation with somebody very near and dear to me just recently. They said, hey, have you heard about this Roe versus Wade thing? And I said, yes, can you explain it a little bit to me? And I did, and he kind of sat there and he goes, well, shouldn't it be the woman's right to choose? And we've all heard this argument, right? Should be the women's right to choose. And of course, we understand why it is framed that way. because we don't want to ask the real question. The real question is this: do you believe that this is a human being? And what value do we put on the life of a human being? I had somebody who recently made this argument. They were very vehement. They were filled with vitriol. And they said, well, why should that human being encroach upon my life? I said, well, that's very simple. You did not wake up. Let me dispel some myths here. The stork does not put the baby in your belly. You did not go into the hot tub and come out pregnant because of the hot tub. Right? You did not wish upon a star. The Sandman did not come by. You did not eat the wrong food. You did not go to the wrong place and accidentally become pregnant. You made a choice. Now we'll take that. That is, again, more than 90% of abortions, by the way. Now let's take the other side of their argument. And we'll get back to the scripture in a second. This is a rabbit chasing here, okay? Let's get back. Well, what about abortions, incest, molestations, things like that? What about that? You know, assaults. What about those pregnancies? They are a small portion. And can I ask you a question? If we can agree, we can go back to my original question is this a human being? What then is better? Or, I'm sorry, what's worse? Allowing that child to grow up knowing where it came from, that woman having to get therapy, counseling, that sort of a thing, or murder? Which one? Because that's what we're looking at. If this is a human being, everything else is murder, and you've got to stack your arguments against this is why murder is okay, which, by the way, is why when you go to Planned Parenthood and you're seeking an abortion, they don't show you the ultrasound. They turn it. They don't let you look. 23%. Why, I take them back, 22 to 23%. There was some change in there. Of women who see the ultrasound walk out and don't come back because we refuse to ask the question, is this a human? Now let's tag into another debate that we've had recently. Why are so many people walking into schools and churches and public places with guns and mowing them down? Because we as a society have lost the value of a human life. The Bible promises, God promises this, that while we were in the womb, He knew us. Which means there was something more than a clump of cells to know. You had value at conception. And that was value not given to you by man, not given to you by a mother who decided to have you, but by God. I don't have that right to decide whether you live or die in that way. Now, I tell you what, you grow up and you're the one with the gun going into the school. I'm going to change my opinion on whether or not you should live. I will. But you ain't had a chance yet. I know you're a sin. I know that baby in the womb is a sinner. But you ain't had a chance for me to decide whether you live or die. That ain't right. God gave you your value. I don't get to take it away because I've got some kind of vacation coming up this year. Because somebody wants to put their career first, but for a half a night wanted to put their brain on pause. We don't get to decide that. And we are kidding ourselves if we think the 90%+ of convenience abortions we have in this country is any different than what Josiah was dealing with this Molech worship. It's the same. So often as you look through and you see the history of Molech worship, there was time when sacrificing a child to them was an enticement for Molech to bless their lives. Look at where we sit today. Well, I can't. I got to make money. I can't follow through with this child. I'm in high school. I've got this going on. I got that going on. And I have in no way want to put down the devastation that a child out of wedlock can cause, which is why you ought to keep it in wedlock. Which is why they're out there, they're making these arguments. You see them on the television, red in the face, blue in the hair, just barking at the camera. Well, fine, then I guess we just won't sleep with men. Yes! Yes! If only there was a contractual obligation that a man had to enter into in front of family, friends, and the law, that he would be there for you before you had a child with him. If only we had something like that. But we've taken what God has given us in marriage and we have flushed it. We flushed it. Why? Convenience. We get this idea that we don't have to pay for our sin, that we can sit there and we can do the things that go on in a promiscuous society, and we think that there aren't going to be consequences. I think so much of David sat there and he looked over and he saw a woman and he goes, oh, I want that. And all of a sudden she was no longer a person, she was a prize. He lost the value of human life. And then what happens? Oh no, I messed up. How do I get out of this? All right, I'll hide it. I'll be sneaky. We'll just be sneaky about it, all right? Always got to know. So we'll get the husband to come back and it'll be fine. And a lot of adulterous marriages go that way, by the way. Oh, I'm pregnant by the milkman, so now I've got to get with my husband real fast and we got to fix this. But it didn't work. Why? Because her husband had integrity. Something David had left at home. And now all of a sudden he sits there and he goes, how do I get out of this? There's a baby on the way. What do I do? What do I do? Murder. Murder. But not outright murder. He couldn't take the knife and put it into the man's back himself. I'm going to set him up to act good. And so often that's what we do. Pregnant, here's $400, $800, whatever it is. Right, here's some money, go take care of it. Because you don't have the right mind in you. You don't have the spine to sit there and say, I created a human being and now I have a responsibility. What Josiah was doing is he was going through and getting rid of all the things that dishonor God. Folks, killing children dishonors God. We are sitting there saying one of the most miraculous things that we get to see every day. You creating a human being, the fantastic art and science that is DNA combining together to create a human being. We don't like it. We're insulted by the responsibility of it. We want the gift you gave us, but we don't want the responsibility. I mean, I think about my kids, you know, sometimes we'll do this where I'll post a picture of maybe the kids and me when I was that age, right? And you look at them and go, oh, look, that's Matt all together, isn't it? And then every now and then I'll take a picture of Danielle when she was a baby or her dad when he was a baby and compare the child up against that. And go, oh, I see that there too. And we enjoy that. You know how sweet the science is of that? That is not an accidental thing. How on earth could that ever be something that happens accidentally? I mean, you look at the complexity of DNA and the code of genetics. It is complicated. God wrote that. God formed the process. He formed us in our mother's wombs. He imparted onto us spirit and soul. He gave us everything. And mankind today goes, no, thank you. We'll sacrifice that to our God of good time. Sacrifice that to our good wills and our desires and what we think we should have. And I tell you what, they act like they're never going to think anything of it. They pretend that there are not side effects. Did you know that it's quite possible after having an abortion to never be able to fall pregnant again? They don't talk about that a lot. They talk about blood clots, discomfort, pain, tearing. They don't talk about any of those things. Right? As almost as though sending almost like a plumbing snake looking thing after a child is going to leave the mother in perfectly good health. They don't talk about the side effects. Why? Because it's money. It's eugenics. We got to kill these people off. Again, there's a reason why they put those places where they put them, and it's not out of convenience. What we're seeing here is the precedent. Josiah was breaking down the precedent, much like we've seen the breakdown of the precedent today. He restored the law, restored the reign of the law that God had given. Because what we had seen in our country was just as much against the law as them building a temple to Molech the way that they did. It was against the law. It was wrong. And yet we see now, and I tell you what, the world would never think it. Perhaps Clarence Thomas would never say it himself. None of them on the court would ever say it. But this is going back to what God designed. That if you have a child, you have the child. The precedent has been torn down, yes. They stepped beyond their appointment. They stepped behind their rights. And they did something they weren't supposed to do. And I tell you what, so often we fall into those traps, don't we? Out of convenience. Out of a desire to get out of a situation. Think of all of the phrases you've ever heard for a woman getting pregnant outside of marriage. Or a woman getting pregnant with a pregnancy she didn't want. Why do we form little phrases like that? Because we don't want to say it. We try to be nice. Or we try to be mean in it. Right? I heard somebody tell me one time in high school, hey, where'd so-and-so go? Well, she got stuck. I go in a hole in a ditch in her car. Like Winnie the Pooh, she was reaching into a hole. Oh, you mean she got stuck? Like in the snow? What happened? We don't just come out and say it. Because deep within us, we understand that we can't have that conversation. They created life. They created life, and life is being a bit unbearable for them, and they don't know what to do with it. We must call things what we call them. Call things what God calls them. They are what they are. And as Josiah was tearing things down, he restored the law to the way it was. And folks, that ought to be our prayer every day. I'm looking over at Governor Whitner going, man, I wish it was anybody but you in there right now. I do. I don't wish any ill on her. I pray the Lord saves her. But you know what? I wish there was somebody a little bit more life conscious, a little bit more God conscious up there in that Capitol. That's what I want. I'm sitting there, I understand that right now we got the Fed locked up pretty good, but that will not always be the way. I pray that God finds a way that not another child is killed legally in this country. That is my prayer. And I will pray it. Now often I sit there and I will say this, and that's my third point. We'll get to that in a little bit. Well, you can't legislate morality. You're right, but we can legislate immorality all day. All day. It's murder. There was a time in our country where if you, and in many places it still is, I don't know the exact percentage or what states, but if you killed a woman who was pregnant, that's two lives you were considered ended, and you answered for both of them on the stand. That's what you did. But we've gotten soft. We've got torn up between these people that found a creative way to argue for murder. And by the way, there will always be people who find creative ways and reasoning for murder. Right? Adolf Hitler, did he not do that? They're not people. That's what he said. They're not people. They're less than dogs. Right? They're not capable of intelligence or feeling or anything. He said some pretty negative things. And we said, oh, Hitler, what a bad guy. Oh, we would never, like, and in today's politics, that's how you win. You just call the other guy Hitler, and everybody goes, oh, no, I don't want to be anywhere near that guy. He's been called Hitler. But he was able to take human beings and get everybody around him, not everybody, but get the people who were the movers and the shakers around him to view them as non-humans. As a matter of fact, we've gotten away with that trick several times. Hitler was not even the first one to look at the Israelites as non-humans. They've always been kind of beat up in that way. Nowadays, we do the same thing. Well, they're not humans. You sure? from a very early stage in life, 10 fingers, 10 toes. From a very early stage in their gestation, heartbeat and eyes and function. They'll even say this, well, they don't feel pain. I don't know. I've heard some testimonies of former abortionists who sat there with a child and they were in one of those countries where they couldn't, where one of the states where if the child was born and it didn't die in the abortion, where they had to sit there and just let it happen. Guy gave a testimony that he sat there for 2 days waiting for it to starve. And he said that he could hear it. He could see it thrashing. It feels pain from very early. That is a human being. I pray that's a law because we're killing humans. To me, to look at the abortion rates in this world today is the same hurt that we feel when we see a school being shot at. When I open up the newspaper and I see another kid got caught up in a drive-by shooting, I feel the same pain because it's a human being all the same. Josiah created this opportunity for laws to be passed. Now listen, I don't have a lot of faith in our government. I don't think I've ever hidden that. I really don't. But I have promised this, that for as long as God has put me on this earth, I will be a burr in their saddle. Right? Well, do you really think voting does something? I don't know, but I'm going to do it. You're going to have to stand next to me in line. At least you're going to have to deal with my presence. I love standing. I love going in to vote. I know some of you do the mail-in ballot. I love going in to vote. Right? Because at least you got to look at me when you're going to lie to me. If you're going to rip up my ballot, you're going to meet me first, right? I get into conversations with people in line. I stood behind a construction worker. I think it was the election that Obama got in. I stood behind a construction worker, a lesbian woman. And we got to talking back and forth. I was wearing a Flat Rock shirt. And she had questions for me. And guess what, folks? I had answers for her. We actually had a pretty good time. It was a good conversation. She laughed, I laughed, but the truth was given out. She said her piece, I said my piece. I never saw her at the church, probably never thought a thing of it, but I pray that does come to something. Guess what? You're going to see me in the poll lines voting. You're going to hear me saying stuff about it. But folks, can I tell you this? That's not where the battle will be won. That's where I'm going to, I'll go fight over there. I'll fight over there all day, but that's not where the battle will be won. Josiah did the right thing as the leader of the country, but sadly, I am not the leader of a country, would never want to be the leader of the country, nevertheless the state. I just wouldn't want it, right? I'm happy being the pastor. I've got problems enough of my own. I don't want to reach there. I would much rather stand and fight where it matters. And that goes to my third point here. You can't legislate morality. We can legislate against immorality, but those people out there that are tearing their hair out, those people out there that are so confused, believing, well, they banned abortion. Well, no, technically, we banned abortion back in the early 1900s, right? We'd done that already. You have to understand what's going on. Now, these talking heads, these professors, these activists, do you think that they know exactly what's going on legally? You better believe they do. Well, then why are they talking about it as though it was just recently banned? Because it stirs that pot. It stirs them up, man. All right, when you got a bunch of people, oh, they're taking away your rights. I saw that one of my high school friends. I heard that perhaps, I saw the name of an old high school friend having passed away. And it broke my heart, so I went back in to kind of take a look to see what's going on. And it turns out that that guy was named after his dad, and his dad passed away. Still heartbreaking, not saying that it got any better. But in the process, I found another friend who's out there said, well, I went to sleep and woke up Friday morning. I didn't have any rights, or I lost some rights. I go, what on earth made you think that you lost that? You don't understand it. You don't understand what happened there. Why? Because those that want to turn the head and control the thoughts and opinions of mankind, they're willingly to keep those people blind. They love ignorance among the common people. They don't want you to know how the government works. They don't want you to know how your rights work. They don't want you to know how we pass laws or make laws here. They don't want that at all. you see AOC in the news last couple weeks? She was standing before, she was talking to, I believe, I'll be honest, I have no idea who she was talking to, but it was a man, and she's going off on how unlawful and terrible it is that a child would be separated from their parent at a border. And the guy is sitting there explaining to him, well, any illegal action, when the parent is arrested, the child is taken into protective custody. She goes, no, no, and she starts talking about, well, they're doing this at the border. He goes, yeah, it's illegal for them. Where do you see that it's illegal to enter our country that way? I go, you dingbat. And he quoted the exact law. He cited the exact source of where that law is. And she sat there and just kind of went, and then got quiet. I love her. I love her so much. She is the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, I tell you what, it'd be funnier, but man, she's up there making laws. That's the only thing that, like, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, wait, she's real. Like, if this was a television show, that would be amazing. But this is real. And these people are losing their mind. Do you think they know that? Of course they know that. Do you think they're aware of the stuff they're saying? Of course they do. Why are they saying it wrong then? When I can sit there and I can flip open the books and find the law, and you're telling me that that's not how that worked. Why do they do that? Because they're hoping you're stupid. They're hoping you're dumb enough. And if I can get you riled up, right? By the way, that word is propaganda. It's a new thing, right? Get you riled up, and you'll do whatever I want you to do. You'll keep me in power. You'll keep the money coming my way. We'll be able to do things the way we want them. And those that are intelligent enough, by the way, if you really study people who are advising the current Democrats today, and even some of the Republicans, this is what they talk about. This is what they say in their books. They're not hiding it. This is not a conspiracy theory. They make money saying this stuff. That there are people, there's a level of society that is dumb. And if you're smart enough to see the lies, that means you're smart enough to be with us, and we're a different elite group. And everybody else is just a bunch of monkeys down there picking our bananas. That's how they see us. They're hoping we're dumb. And they'll sit there, and that's why the arguments are so deep and logical. Well, listen, this is what the law actually says. No, you're just stupid. Okay. You got me. But here's some documentation. Here's the actual cited law and code and are accepted by our U.S. government. This is the way. Yeah, but you're stupid. All right, kids, don't go home and use this phrase, but that's what they do. It's the emperor's clothes all over again. And that, by the way, that is our political model. You see it or you're dumb. You take these kids, you drop them off at some of these very liberal colleges. That's what they tell them. You believe me or you're dumb. Okay, but can I get some facts? Can I ask you some questions? No, here's some people that are writing these articles, and what they'll tell you is, I have a degree, you don't have a degree, please listen to me, because everybody else who does not have the degree that I have is dumb. You ever meet anybody who had a degree that was completely wrong about something? Oh yeah, that's the entire scientific field. They learn new stuff every year. How about those that have their degrees in science and computers, right? Computers. We build and create and invent new stuff all the time. What you knew 5 years ago is pretty near obsolete. You need to continue your education. And they're sitting there, because I've got a degree, it's like the Wizard of Oz. He handed me a piece of paper, and all of a sudden I can do long division on top of my head. It's not how that works, Scarecrow. You've actually got to know. So you know what? These people, they're going to keep fighting. We can make it, ban it in all the states. We can make it federal. We can lock it in. Take a titanium lock and bolt and shut that door. And you'll still have people kicking against the walls. I heard this argument too, and it made me want to spit. If you can't do it legally, you're forcing us to do it in a dangerous way. I'm pretty sure I'm forcing you to not be able to do it at all. If you want to go to some back alley in Tijuana, and if that level of foolishness comes to mind, that's on you, right? I would sit there and say that we ought to talk more about that, but by the way, that's already illegal and mentally bankrupt in every way. Well, I'll go over to my meemaw's house who's got this old-fashioned way of doing it, and they've got this old-fashioned rusty tool, and that's what you Republicans made me do. I did not. I'm up here preaching, don't ever do that. You do it yourself. Well, if we don't give children contraceptives, they'll just go ahead and do what they're going to do anyway. So you're going to leave the door open. Hey, you know what? I found a bug in my bathroom this morning. Big old thing. Couldn't recognize it. Right? And I've come to this realization. I shut my windows, Brother Art. I shut my doors. Right? I spray for bugs. I've got cats. I've got stuff. How am I still getting bugs? So you know what? Hang it. I'm going to leave all the windows open. I'm going to keep that door wide open. Because if I'm still going to have one or two, I might as well just open the door. That's the logic in their argument. We'll just do it anyway. So why not? Let's open the floodgates. Yeah, okay. No one's making you do anything. If you're that obstinate and you're that foolish to want to go out and put your body at risk, it's you. It's you. So we can't legislate it. Why? Because they'll always kick and bite and stomp. That's not where the battle will be won. We can lock the door, but the battle will not end. They will fight forever. What do? We convince some, but again, we also have to understand, logic don't work for everybody. Right? I love the Bible, but one of my favorite quotes from outside of the Bible goes like this. You can't logic somebody out of a situation they didn't use logic to get themselves into. I could probably sit down with a handful of people and really get them to understand this is a human life. And what we're doing is this is an old logic and ethics question. I had logic and ethics growing up in class. An old logic and ethics class. All right, if I've got a woman who could be... let's take aside the convenience abortions. Let's look at an actual assault. What's worse, getting her therapy and help or committing murder? And you're sitting there on the railroad tracks and you get to decide who the railroad hits. Except she doesn't die, but he does. And every time we're letting the child die. I logic some people out of that. I probably could. But it's not going to work the most. Because meanwhile, sitting there talking about the assault, I use the word assault, and they're screaming and they're shouting and they're hurling abuse at me. How dare you sit there and say for what? Logic won't work on everybody. Look at the way they talk, look at the way they act. It won't work on everybody. So we can logic. We can reason with some. But folks, listen to me. The heart can only be changed by being made new. What set Josiah apart from the other kings? He loved the Lord. Man, wouldn't that be nice if there was a special tonic I could create to make people love the Lord? That don't exist, by the way. If there was a certain way that I could do it, I could preach in a way that would force people to be saved, that would be great. But I can't do it. The only way to change a heart is to be made new. And it can only be made new. So again, when I sit there and I preach that the only solution is for us to do what we must do civically, but preach the gospel, that souls would be saved. And in that soul being saved, they would honor and respect God. And in honoring and respecting Him, they will respect creation. They will respect life. We as a country have neglected to teach the value of life. Why? Because we've removed God out of the equation. Life only has meaning if we as a society deem that it's worth living. That's not our right to do. It belongs to God. We need hearts and minds to turn towards the Lord. We continue to preach. Oh, but brother, my family, they're so irate. They're so upset. My friends, have you been on social media? I was getting my hair cut when I saw the news of the Roe v. Wade switch, by the way. I was sitting there, I was looking at the... I go, oh. And I was trying to figure out why my barber had ladies golf on. Every time I go into the barber, he's got the news on. I'm sitting, oh, okay, we're watching ladies golf today. And I walked up to the chair, I go, watching some... golf today? He goes, yeah, this guy is afraid to turn on the news. And I go, I hear you. Last thing I want to hear about this morning is another Target being burned down. Wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities. But no, what do they need? Well, I'm afraid to talk about it. You need to give them what they need. That's the gospel. I was telling Danielle, I got into a debate with somebody, and I said this to them. They said, well, I don't believe that it's a human being, and I think that it's perfectly okay for a woman to choose to remove those cells if they want to. I did the whole verbal gymnastics. I go, that's only because you don't have a soul. And I let that sit for a second. Her face got red. What do you mean I don't have a soul? Of course I've got a soul. How dare you say that just because we disagree? That's the problem with you Christians. I have a soul. Okay, when'd you get it? When'd you get your soul? You go, the whistle. When'd you get it? Where'd you get it from? Because we all have one. And its eternal destiny, much like the destiny of the children that they like to kill, is not up to them. There is no grace for a child that is given to a mother who's willing to abort it. No choice, no option, no breath, no life, no seeing the sun, no feeling the wind on its face. It gets none of those things. It doesn't get a choice. Aren't you glad God is more merciful than most of the mothers on this planet? I sure am. I sure am. You sit there, you almost kind of want to get into conversations with people. As a former fetus, I'm glad my mom made the choice she made. What about this soul? What about the soul that you have? You're all banged up that it's got a right to have whatever it wants, but what it's going to end up with is an eternity in hell. What you need is the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. Repent of your sins. Now, can I say this? I'm up here preaching on abortion, and there's a few topics you got to be careful with as a pastor when you're preaching on abortion, divorce, a lot of things you got to be careful with, because there are people in there that have experienced that in the church. And you're not here to be mean. I'm not here to, if you've ever had one, my goal was not to grab a hold of your heart and rip it out to that. That's not the point, right? God's grace is God's grace, and aren't you glad for it? We've all got things we wish we could reach back and just completely erase out of our lives, but you can't do it. That's buried under the blood. Praise the Lord for it. It is not about past sin. It is what we need to do today. I'm talking about what we do about our current situation. Josiah has removed the precedent. I'm not comparing Clarence Thomas to Josiah, but I kind of am. Follow me on this, right? The law, the precedent has been removed. We've got the ability to build back. And not in the way the Democrats claim. But the tricky part comes in the future. We get all rattled about stuff. What's a woman? Do you know what a woman is? Nobody knows what a woman is anymore. Ukraine. Ukraine? Oh, Ukraine! Abortion. Oh, abortion! Don't let the next thing hit the news pages erase our responsibility to this. Because we as a nation are answering to God. Why is it that we're struggling here? Why is it that we've got these complete demonstrative people in the government? Why is it that we've got the fires and the floods and is it global warming? Is it a lack of this? Is it a lack of that? Why are we economically unstable across the world? How is the whole world economically unstable when we just agree that money is a thing among us? How does it happen? Because we're being judged for what we're doing. Being judged. Why is it that when people play a little bit, it has devastating effects all over the world? Because we're being judged by God. And much like many an Israelite, we will have to get down on our knees on a regular basis and apologize for our country and pray that God sends the Holy Spirit to save many more. Because I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of it. I look forward to the day when we're in heaven. I was sitting there, I was studying a little bit and playing around with a message on heaven, and there's so many things I'm looking forward to. You know, in heaven, we're never going to have to sit there and hear about abortion rates again. When the Lord ends it all, we'll never have to hear about that. There'll never be inflation, there'll never be sickness, no illness. There'll be no phone calls, messages, hey, so-and-so's in the hospital, hey, so-and-so's in hospice, so-and-so has this, they were just diagnosed with that, there'll be no more. I'm looking forward to that. But folks, we're not there yet. We're right here where the battle is. And if I can say this, that's why it's important. One of the many reasons why it's important that we do what we're doing with these kids. That's why I think it's so important that we're doing things like camp. I promise, I won't let our church get hurt by it. I'll do my best. This was thing with the van is going to bother me for a good few years. But this is why it's important. Why on earth? Why on earth would we give these kids over to a world that never shuts up and never once take them aside and say, this is how God wants you to live. This is what God expects of you. Do you know how many times in my life it's been changed, affected, grown, nurtured, because someone in the church took me aside and said, hey, Matt, come over here. Why don't we talk for a little bit and talk about some of that? Hey, Matt, you know, why don't you come on over? We're doing this rally. Well, what's going on there? Well, there's some preaching. Well, why do I want to come sit for some preaching? Come on anyway. Come hear some preaching. My childhood, my teenage years was just, I mean, it was marinated in stuff like this, preaching and teaching. Why is it important that we give that to them? Look at the world they're growing up in. If we don't start talking, who's going to talk to them? And if we stop talking amongst ourselves and we stop preaching to our friends and our families, what happens to the folks around us when the light gets shut off? What happens? I was walking through the house. We had a week without the boys. And to me, that means something like we get to sleep. And number two, we get to sleep with all the lights off. Because when you got kids, you got a light going to the bathroom. You got a light coming down to mommy and daddy's room. Just there's lights on. Shut all the lights off. I was so excited one night. Danielle had already shut all the lights off. I went upstairs real quick to grab something. All the lights were off. I was so excited I forgot the lights were off. Tripping over the dog toy. Doing like this, trying to find the stairs. Because it would have been intelligent to just flip the lights on, but you know me by now. Trying to find my way down in there. Of course, this is the way the world's going. They're fumbling in the darkness. Of course, they look ridiculous. There's no light. What's our responsibility again? To be both the salt and light of this world. I can convince a handful of people that they ought to respect the creation of the Lord. I can. But it's going to be the working of the Holy Spirit that does the job. And how can they hear? Right? How can they understand without a preacher, without a teacher, without somebody in the church, a grandma, a grandpa, a mom, a dad, an uncle or an aunt, someone to step in and say, this is what it is. A best buddy to sit there and say, now listen, I know you're over there watching CNN. Turn it off. Come over here. You know, we need to do what we're supposed to be doing. It does no good to sit there in the dark and tremble. Be the light. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful.